You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for the Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris. Rhonda.
Good afternoon, evening, morning, wherever you're at. Today I'm really excited to have the guest Jean Slater from Hiring the Angels. She's also the founder of Higher Guidance Life Coach Certification Program, and she is an accomplished author and inspirational speaker who's helping thousands to receive clarity, direction, and purpose through the direct access to a higher guidance. In 2005, Jean published her landmark book, Hiring the Heavens, to which we're going to discuss today, which introduced a unique perspective on connecting with the power of the heavens to fulfill your daily and life goals. Hiring the Heavens is inspiring people all over the world to create their world in tandem with the workforce of the celestial realm. Jean leads workshops across the country and is a sought-out speaker. She has been a presenter at the Awakenings Conference along with Marion Williamson, Joe Beitel, Dan Millman, Jean Houston, and Don Miguel Ruiz, and the keynote speaker at the Unity Conference in Florida. Jean's materials have been featured in noted publications such as the First for Women magazine, Science of Mind, New Age Journal, Conscious Living magazine, and was featured on the cover of Truly Alive magazine. And she's had dozens of radio and blog talk programs and was a featured presenter for the Conscious Media Network and Gaiam TV. And with that, I've introduced her now. You guys have got an idea of who she is. Let's bring Jean into the studio. Hi, Jean.
Hi, Rhonda. Yay!
How are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm so excited to be here.
Great. Hopefully you didn't mind me reading all that about you. I mean, you are quite an aspired person that I've not ever read a book that's been so easy to apply to your life on a minute-to-minute situation. Once you get past the idea of that you don't have to go directly to God, you can go to all these other divine entities and be able to interact with them.
Yeah, it is a simple concept, isn't it? And I think that's the beauty of it, is its simplicity. As a matter of fact, when I was given the message to write about it, that was my first counter-argument to my angels. I said, wait a minute, this is so simple and such an easy idea. Really, I can explain it in 10 minutes. How am I supposed to write a book about it?
And how did you get that experience of hiring your own celestial team? How did that happen for you?
Well, let me set the stage first. And I think it kind of gives a great background because, honestly, this was the last thing I would have ever expected I would be doing. I now fully embrace that I'm a spiritual teacher. But if you would have asked me about this a number of years ago, I would have thought you'd been crazy, you know. So my background is that I spent the first 20 years of my life in a cult. That's how I was raised. And I left that church when I was 19 and swore off anything to do with religion, anything to do with spirituality, anything to do with the word God, angels. You really couldn't talk to me about any of it. I didn't believe in it. I wanted nothing to do with it, and I thought anybody that did believe was crazy. So that's how it was for me until for probably another 19 years. And it wasn't until I was close to 40 that I had a pivotal moment to that enlightening experience that changes everything and helped me to realize that there really is something more. And when I left the church when I was 19, I really threw the baby out with the bathwater and didn't, you know, I wanted to turn my back on all of it. And what I realized was that there was a huge piece of my life that was missing and a huge understanding in my life that was missing. So I had a pivotal moment when I recognized without any shadow of a doubt that I truly have access to something greater than myself, that there's so much more that's going on than what appears with our eyes on this physical plane, that there really is another dimension to ourselves and to this whole experience, and that we, the saying that we are a spiritual being having a human experience, I got to experience that firsthand and knew it in its truth down to every cell in my body. So let me very quickly explain what that pivotal moment was so that the listeners can understand how I got from where I was to where I am now. So what happened was that I, at the time, was working as a natural health practitioner. And I really wanted to work with my clients simply through, academics. You've got this symptom, okay, this herb is supposed to be good for that. Why don't we just try that? And I just simply wanted to work on that level that said, whatever's going on, there is a physical explanation for it. Well, I started to realize that we're so much more complex than what can be explained through nutrition and physical things. We have emotions, we have these beliefs and spiritual imbalances, and I really wasn't equipped and didn't even want to deal with all of that. Well, one day when I was working with a client, we were doing a technique called an allergy clearing. And this is a technique that I had learned about and learned how to talk to the other person's body. Some people are familiar with muscle testing. I was using a pendulum. And honestly, Rhonda, I didn't think that was woo-woo. I just thought that, yeah, hey, we've been using pendulum stuff for centuries, so this isn't woo-woo stuff here. And in talking to my client's body, they said, you need to do an allergy clearing for 5 neurotransmitters. And I had to name all 5. I was able to come up with 4, but could not name that 5th neurotransmitter. At which time I said to my client, we need to reschedule. I need to do some studying. I need to know more about neurotransmitters and find out what this 5th one is, so let's reschedule. And at that very moment, my client said to me, who was a layperson, this is, you just got to picture all this, why would she even say this? But she blurted out, well, is histamine a neurotransmitter? And I looked at her very strangely and I said, no, histamine isn't a neurotransmitter. Histamine is that stuff your sinuses produce when you have an allergic reaction. That's why you take antihistamines. No, it's not a neurotransmitter. And then in the very next second, for whatever reason, I mean, there was just no explaining it, I turned around and I pulled a book off my shelf that I had purchased 1 year prior but had never opened. Well, it falls open to a page where the word histamine is in the title. So that in and of itself was coincidental enough. And I laughed and I said, here, look at this. It's talking about histamine. And then in the next nanosecond, it's as if something took my eyes and directed them to a line buried in a paragraph. It's the only thing I read on the whole page. And it said, quote, histamine is also thought to be a neurotransmitter. I'm telling you, Rhonda, that was that moment when the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And I knew that something quite extraordinary had just happened. How was it when I said to my client, we need to reschedule, what made her say histamine is histamine a neurotransmitter? And when I said, no, it's not, what made me turn around and pull a book off the shelf, open it, and take my eyes to that line? You can't explain that with mere coincidence. It was, I knew that I was being directed by something else, something beyond myself. And that was the moment that changed everything for me. And we all do have these amazing coincidences that occur in our lives. And for the most part, we find them amazing in the moment, and we're all excited about them and wowed out by them, and we talk about them. But what happens a week later? Have we forgotten? Do we even remember what that experience was? Well, for me, this shook me to the core. I never forgot it. I knew that something extraordinary had just happened and that it was a message to me in my life. And so after I did the clearing for my client and she left, I sat there trying to figure out, what was that? How did it happen? What was behind it? And furthermore, what was I going to do with that information? And what I figured out at first run, because again, you have to think about my mindset. I wanted nothing to do with angels. I didn't even, I wasn't even going to say that word. But it had occurred to me that maybe I had a spiritual physician, someone of expertise, that was advising me with my clients and helping me with my business. I had heard about psychic surgery where some expert from another realm would work through somebody on the physical plane. I thought, maybe that's what's going on for me. And then I thought, well, if I really do have a spiritual physician working with me, I'm going to check and see if this is true, and I'm going to capitalize on this. So after that day, I began to call upon this spiritual physician to help me with my business and with my clients. And very quickly, it became evident to me that, indeed, I was getting help from this unseen dimension, and that was just extraordinary to me. And I thought, okay, I see that I'm getting help from this spiritual physician. I'm getting information I couldn't possibly know. Well, I wonder if there's other aspects of my business that I can get help for. So I imagined hiring some experts. I needed a spiritual time manager. I needed a spiritual financial consultant. I needed a spiritual secretary receptionist. I needed a spiritual marketer. So I imagined hiring all of those positions to help me with my business. And I'll just fast forward. Rhonda, it worked so well for me that I was able, for the next 10 years, support my family of four children while my husband stayed home, and I only worked part-time. I was able to support them for 10 years without ever hiring someone on the physical level, because all of this was taken care of for me on the spiritual level.
And that's kind of how the book worked for me. It came to me at a time where I needed a lot of different entities to work on a lot of different things in my life as far as, my dad's health and his death and how that was going to work out. And then, my stepfather's death and how to help both my mother and stepmother to get the help that they would need to go through this process. Because neither one was prepared at the time. It was very sudden, very quick with both of them. And then I had, siblings and stuff that were out on the edge playing with stuff that they didn't need to be playing with, and my family asking me to please intervene. And it's like, I can't intervene, I can ask angels to intervene, and whatever's to their highest good, but I can't direct them, word for word. I have to let them put it together and let them put people in their lives that they're going to hear the same message that I've been saying, or, something similar to touch them spiritually, or, however it was. And even with me, it was growing my business. It was getting comfortable doing the radio shows, because this was something totally new to me in 2013 when I first started doing this. and I read your book in 2012. And then I bought numerous copies and sent it all out to my friends and said, you've got to do this. You know, because when I do my essential oils that I make, I bring in the divine and the angels, and they literally tell me what the recipe is going to be, what it's going to be named, and what it'll work on. And then I'm starting to find now that, you know, it works. They all work on a whole different level depending on the person, you know. And thank goodness you wrote the book. I mean, I, like you, was, I'm not doing anything with God at this point, you know, because I had walked away from some pretty outrageous, you know, religious entities, and I wasn't going to do that, you know. And then your book came along, and it was like, oh, so you can hire angels for all these different things, rather than going directly to God. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times in my upbringing, it was that if you're not good enough, God's not going to give you anything.
That's right.
Or if you're not doing the deeds. Yeah.
We think of God like up on this throne and unreachable, and we feel like, boy, at least when the way that I grew up, you better have a good reason for talking to God. You know, you cannot pray for yourself unless you're really in trouble and in time of crisis. But, you know, you definitely can pray for others. You can pray for world peace and all the big ticket items. But it was this feeling like God was choosing among the prayers to find the most worthy of prayers, you know. And
yeah.
So your prayer had to be a good one. Well, what I learned is that it's not that way at all. That you know, with this concept of hiring the heavens, you can hire a spiritual hairdresser to help you find the perfect hair color. And guess what? They're delighted to do that. In fact, we're through religions, we have created this idea that God is somehow separate from us, that the celestial realm is having us prove ourselves here and become quote-unquote worthy, and that we can only approach if we have a significant and appropriate worthy request. Well, that keeps the celestial realm at arm's length and makes us feel like, as humans, we're being punished here on the planet and trying to earn our way back into the good graces of God. But nothing could be further than the truth. The real truth, what I came to understand and to discover, is that the celestial realm and God never wanted to be separate from us in the first place. In fact, we're carrying that energy through us, and it's through us that God is experiencing. And so it's that if we can just really, really capture what that means, that, and understand that we're never separate, and that God is interested in everything that we're doing in our lives, in every moment, and never thinks any of it is too trivial, never thinks any of it is too big, too small, too anything. It just delights in being involved with every aspect of our lives. And we're the ones that keep God and the celestial realm separate. We're the ones that shut the door. But what if it was never meant to be that way? What if we didn't have to wait till we were in a time of crisis to call upon this help? What if God and the celestial realm could be involved with just getting us through the day, each and every day, helping us to put a smile on our face, helping us to understand a little bit more about how to have more grace in our lives, helping us to have success with our work, helping us with our kids, helping us with our romance, helping us with our relationships, helping us get through studies that we're doing. No matter what it is, what if the celestial realm is there willing and waiting for us to ask so that they can assist? What if they want to be part of our life and always have?
And, you know, when he said that, it reminded me of when I first got sober in 89, which is when I started doing a different, you know, spiritual aspect because I didn't want to do God on the terms that I was raised with. So I pretended that God was riding a Harley and was wearing jeans and wearing cowboy boots, you know. And then someone said to me, you know, when are you going to take God out of the box? You're blocking him in. So he can't do anything because you're saying, well, I can handle this. I don't need any help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now it's more about, oh my gosh, you know, I can give him anything and everything and literally be able to not have that impending doom or that constant feeling of what do I need to do next and what's missing, you know. It seems like the angels always put someone in my life that can take care of things for me or that help me out financially by, you know, buying my oils or, you know, it's just an interesting twist on things with when you've been raised in religions where God is limiting and very shaming, you know,
yeah.
And this doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with how great you are and that you're a piece of the God center and that it's all universal and like we're all one big piece of a jewel, you know, and no facet is any better or less than the others.
That's exactly right. And I have to say that, you know, our primarily through religious training, we had this belief that we're separate from God and that we have to earn our way back into good graces. And that idea is what perpetuates this feeling like we got to do it on our own, you know, that some, you know, I'll just muddle through here because this is a proving ground and a testing ground, and I've got to, you know, this is all about me for my afterlife, you know, whether it's to get to heaven, to get to nirvana, to get to enlightenment, whatever that thing is that's after this idea that this is the proving ground and somehow we got to get someplace else. But what if it isn't that way? What if this is it? What if we are a divine expression of God here on this planet and this is it? And that we're here as creators. We're here as creators and that the entire celestial realm is here to assist us in our creation. Once you make that shift, and that's what happened for me, Rhonda, in writing the book, Hiring the Heavens, like I mentioned at the beginning of the program, it's a very simple concept, and I really would like to go into that in a moment here. But it's a very simple concept, and it starts to be so fun and so extraordinary, and miracles begin to happen in your life. And you're thinking, how is this possible? How is this possible? Eventually, as you're working with this and seeing the orchestration of the heavens, it begs the question, how is it that I am that important that the celestial realm is paying attention to me? I mean, they're helping me with my interior decorating. They're helping me with my daughter. They're helping me with my car. I hired a spiritual mechanic to fix my car. And honestly, miracles were just occurring for me right and left. And then it begs the question, well, how is this possible? How is it that I am receiving these miracles? And what came out of writing Hiring the Heavens is a greater understanding of who I really am. And that's why I really needed to write the book, is to understand that it's so much more than what happens at first glance. What happens at first glance is a lot of fun. But the deeper understanding is an awareness of who you truly are. And that's that awareness that you are this God energy walking here on the planet, and through you, you're carrying God with you, and through you, you are experiencing. So with that responsibility to understand, look who's looking through my eyes. Look who's touching with my hands. Look who's feeling and smelling and you know, all of that through my body. Then of course, I want to make this creation the most extraordinary creation that it can be. It's like you wake up in the morning and you say, okay, angels, what are we going to create today? And then you go forth and And your life becomes so much more than you ever, ever dreamed it could be. And it's like, you know, you and I talked before. Could you even ever, ever have imagined doing what you're doing today?
No, not in my wildest dreams, because I've always wanted, doesn't like to have attention drawn to me. But yet, when you're on a radio show, the attention comes to you one way or the other.
That's right. Well, for the listeners, I would like to quickly, if it's all right, explain how you hire the heavens.
Can I just interrupt real quick?
Sure.
I'm going to tell the callers that if you have any questions for Jean, you can call in at 1-347-838-9142, and she can help you. She can do very individual readings as to what would be best to help you in your situation. And you can also reach Jean. Can you tell them what your contact information is?
They can. My website is jeanslater.com. That's J-E-A-N. S is in Sam, L-A-T-T-E-R. There's two T's in Slater. Or they can go to creativemystic.com. It goes to the same place.
Okay, and then can you go on ahead now and tell listeners, you know, how the book, how it works and that type of thing?
It's just a simple concept, and it's a concept that was perfect for me, where I didn't even want to use the word angels. I wanted to use the way that it ended up occurring for me is something that we're real familiar with, and that is hiring somebody here on the physical plane. As you can imagine, as you know, whenever you need some help, like you, say you're doing a home edition, you go online and you find out is there physical contractors, who should I hire? I need to go to the building department. I need to get an architect. I need to do all these different things. And you want to hire those people on the physical plane. But with hiring the heavens, I invite you to first hire from the spiritual plane, because every personality trait, every skill, every ability that could possibly exist here on the physical plane exists in the spiritual plane. So hire your spiritual contractor, hire your spiritual building inspector, hire your spiritual architect first, and let them begin to orchestrate things for you. And when you do that, three amazing things can happen. One, you can be inspired with the information that you need. So let's just say your spiritual architect that you hire suddenly inspires you with the idea of how you want to design this new addition on your home. And, oh, my God, I got it. I never saw that before. That's what we can do. So the information can come right through you. The second thing that can happen is they'll bring an expert, sometimes literally right to your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that happened for me when I asked, when I was given the message that I needed to write the book on hiring the heavens, I said, okay, well, listen, I have no idea how to write a book, so you're going to help me. I put together a spiritual book writing committee, and I said, bring me somebody that can help develop these ideas. Honestly, Ron, I got a message on my business phone from a complete stranger within a day, and she says, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a developmental editor, and I was just wondering if you had any book projects you were working on. When I heard that message, I honestly could have been pushed over with a feather. You know, but that's what happens. They will send you the exact person you need on the physical level. And then when that happens, you know they're heaven sent. You have no doubt this is the mm-hmm. person you need to work with. So what can happen with the example of the home edition is that you will be, say, shopping in a grocery store, bump into somebody, and they'll tell you about the perfect contractor that they hired. And just like that, you know that's who you're supposed to work with. And then the third thing that can happen is a flat-out miracle. And when these types of things happen, it goes so way beyond coincidence. It will absolutely leave no doubt in your mind that you are truly truly being worked with on another level, that it's being arranged on another level, it will just give you goosebumps. You'll be amazed. And I would love to tell a couple stories of some fun experiences that happened over jewelry.
Sure.
This story is in my book, but then I want to tell you a couple more. My girlfriend was telling me how she had been out in her yard pruning for over an hour. And when she came in and was taking a drink of water, her daughter noticed that an irregular shaped pearl in a ring that her husband had given her many years ago was missing. And so immediately her heart sank, knowing that little tiny pearl was somewhere out in this huge yard where she had been pruning. And she knew it was just gone, lost. Well, fortunately, I had just told her about my experience with Hiring the Heavens and how we can get help for anything in our lives, no matter how big or how small. So she hired a spiritual jewelry sleuth in that moment, and she said, "Help me find that irregular shaped pearl and bring it to me." Well, just an hour later, she's sitting on the bed talking with her kids, and the dog jumped up on the bed. And her son said, "Mom, Callie's playing with something in her mouth." And she said, "Drop it, Callie." And the dog dropped the pearl right in front of her hand. I mean, that's just a miracle story. So get this. You'll love it. I have told that story over and over. So the spiritual, the celestial phone number of this jewelry sleuth has gotten out. And she truly is the best in the universe. And the stories that I have heard of jewelry reappearing, sometimes after years of being missing, have just been astounding. But I'd love to tell a couple that are truly miracle stories. I was giving a talk at a local bookstore, and a lady that was listening in the audience, on her way home, she decided to hire this spiritual jewelry sleuth to help her find her missing wedding band. Now, this was her husband had passed away 10 years prior. This wedding band had been missing for 10 years. And she just said, "You know, could you see what you could do? I'd love to have that wedding band back." Well, by the time she got home, she, you know, grabbed a glass of water, sat down on the couch, and put her feet up on a coffee table. Now, in front of the coffee table is a live plant. Now, you have to understand, this plant was just maybe a year old. Her wedding ring had been missing for 10 years. Well, she saw a dead leaf on the plant. She reached over to pull the dead leaf off and saw something shiny in the soil. And she pulled up her wedding band. Okay, have we got goosebumps yet? Okay, now let me tell you the next story. And this one comes from someone who wrote in as a review on Amazon. And she said, when she read about the spiritual jewelry sleuth, she decided to try it. And her story was that her mom had passed away 3 years prior, and her mother's opal ring had always been promised to her ever since she was a little girl that when the mother passed away, she would get that ring. Well, 3 years had gone by, and she had not been able to find that opal ring. She had scoured the house, had gone through all of her mother's belongings, her jewelry box, everything to try to find that ring, and it was nowhere to be found. So she had just given up on the idea. "I'll never have my mother's opal ring." But when she heard about or read the book, she thought, "I can hire this spiritual jewelry sleuth." So she did and said, "Please bring me my mother's opal ring." Not long after that, she's doing her laundry, and she's mating her socks. Now, one of the socks has a knot in it, which she thought was kind of strange, and she kind of felt something in the sock. She untied the sock, reached her hand in, and pulled out her mother's opal ring. How do you explain this? This is why we're talking about the level of miracles. Now, these stories are like fun stories about jewelry, but do you think these miracles are just kept to jewelry? Heck no. These miracles can happen in every aspect of your life. And we simply need to be open to the possibility. I mean, we think that miracles are something that, you know, you have to either earn, be worthy of, or do, you know, spend years in meditation, years in prayer, years in being, you know, trying to prove your worthiness to even come close to being, you know, for a miracle to happen in your life. But guess what? Miracles are possible in every aspect of your life. In fact, they're happening in little ways that you're not even aware of, about how the universe is there for you. All the entire celestial realm is there for you. You just need to ask. Just need to open up to that possibility.
And that is so true. It's opening up to that possibility that you are that good, you are that special to God and the divine, that you can ask for whatever, and as long as it's in your best interest, you know, they're going to put it together for you, even if it's not in your best interest. I mean, I say there are no mistakes, because if you don't make the mistake, you don't know what not to do, you know. And for me, probably one of the biggest thing is, over the last few years I've been quite sick, and in the last few weeks people don't recognize me when they see me. My own doctors don't recognize me, and I had my heart doctor, who's worked with me for 5 years, and she had to go out and ask the nurse, is that really Rhonda in the room, and is that really her blood work in there, because I've never seen her this healthy. And I'm probably healthier than I've been in at least 10 years, and every organ is working perfectly, everything's in a low normal range, and my blood has not looked like that at all. I mean, I've been very ill for quite some time, and it's like all of a sudden, you know, it's all come together, but yet it's happened a little bit at a time as I've gone down the path. The angels have put the right doctors in the right place to ask the right question, to look outside the box type thing. And thank goodness I had an angel team that was working on that, because I didn't know how to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so whatever's going on, those that are listening, whatever's going on in your life, if it feels insurmountable to you, guess what? You've got help, more help than you could possibly imagine. So put together your spiritual health committee. Put together your spiritual financial committee. Put together your spiritual romance committee and your spiritual life partner committee. You've got help. And they love, love, love being involved in your life. You know, one of my favorite stories comes from a lady who was clairvoyant. And she had seen angels ever since she was a little girl and had always worked with them. But like most people, she had only worked with the archangels for big ticket items. She never dreamed they could be involved in every aspect of her life. So she just worked with Archangel Michael and whatnot. And you know, this is a person that if I'd heard her talk with back a number of years ago, I would have thought, oh, God, she's hallucinating. But now I believe, I know it. So she told me that after reading my book, she said, I had no idea that I could hire angels for every aspect of my life. So guess what I did? I sat down and I wrote out committee page after committee page for everything that was going on, and I left no stone unturned. I hired a spiritual work committee. I hired a spiritual committee for me and my boss to have a good working relationship. I had hired a spiritual committee to help me with my children, spiritual committee to help me with my husband and my relationship and intimacy. I hired a spiritual committee to help me with my health and fitness. And you go on and on and on. She did it. She hired a committee for every aspect of her life. And she fell asleep exhausted. The next morning when she woke up, because she's clairvoyant, she said she opened her eyes and couldn't believe what she was seeing. She said they were everywhere, Jean. Oh, my gosh. She said the room was so crowded, and there was so much going on. And where there were even some angels that she hadn't hired coming up to her saying, "We heard you were hiring. Have you got a job for us?" And they were showing her a resume of what they were good at. Is that wild or what?
That's definitely wild, and that's one of those things where that's definitely the divine working in us and through us, you know, and I don't know how else to put it. You know, it's a blessing, you know, that you were able to write this book. I'm going to call or tell my listeners how to call in again. It's 1-347-838-9142. Or if you're online, you can post a text and I can ask the question from there. I do have a couple of questions already from people online. And one is this is a young woman from Ontario, Canada, and she wants to know if there is a certain type of team that you hire for your finances so that you're doing the right thing to make the right money.
Okay. And is it okay if we say her name?
Yeah, her first name's Jules.
Okay. All right. So when you're hiring a committee, I want you to think about it in physical terms. Imagine that you don't have any restrictions of time or money and that you can hire any expert that you wish. So do all the logical things that you would do here on the physical plane. Definitely have a spiritual advisor, a financial advisor. I'm sorry. Yeah. Definitely hire on the spiritual level a financial advisor, a money manager, a bookkeeper, an accountant, you know, all the things, all the people and experts and personalities that you would hire to help you on the physical plane if you had no restrictions. Definitely do all that. However, what I'm going to do right now is tune in to your energy, Jules, and see if there is a expert that you would need to bring in that you may not have thought of. And before I do that, let me tell a quick story. This came, I understood that we can get really creative with this. And probably one of my favorite experiences with this is a person that called me up and said, "Jane, my house has been in foreclosure for over a year. I'm trying to do a bankruptcy. We've kept the house off, you know, out of foreclosure because of going through this bankruptcy. But we keep having to finagle things, and I've been trying to get a loan modification for over a year. It's just not working. I don't know what I'm going to do. And now it looks like, I mean, there's a sign out on the front of my lawn. You know, it looks like I'm going to lose my home, and I don't want to do that. So can you hire a committee for me to help me get a loan modification?" And I said, "Yeah, let's have some fun with this." So she happened to live close by and was a friend of mine. So I actually went to her place of work, and we sat down and did kind of a meditation and imagined a boardroom. And in this boardroom, I began to bring in people through the door that were logical, like a spiritual real estate agent, a spiritual banker, a spiritual loan modification expert, a spiritual negotiator, all the people that I could think of that were logical. And I began to see in this boardroom them all coming in and sitting down at the table. And we were about ready to start our meeting when all of a sudden the door opened. It was almost like a movie where the door blows open with a gust of wind, and in walks this impressive-looking man in a three-piece suit and a top hat, and behind him are two other gentlemen, almost like bodyguards, that are also in three-piece suits and top hats. And the man in the front came in, and he sat down at the front of the table, and he says, "Do not worry. We will make them an offer they can't refuse." And I just busted up laughing. I thought, oh, my gosh, we've got the mob. And they said, you know, you need some clout here. Well, in just a week, she had her loan modification at the lowest rate possible. In fact, the agent that she had been working with said, I have no idea where this came from and how you got it, but you have the best rate possible.
Wow.
So,
guess I need that financial team on my side.
Yeah. Sometimes we need some clout.
Mm-hmm. And so with Jules, is that what she needs, is clout?
Well, let's find out. So let me just tune in for a moment here. And I do like to do this. When I hire committees for big ticket items, you know, like something to help with finances or health, some, you know, rather than a spur of the moment hire, which I say hiring from the spiritual temp agency, you know, for a gift that you want to buy for somebody, a one-time hire. When I'm doing something that is a larger project, I put a whole committee together. And what I do in my mind's eye is I actually kind of picture a boardroom, and I start bringing in the experts to sit at this table and work with me and give me advice. So let's see what we've got, Jules. And again, I want you to do all of the ones that are logical, but let's see who it is that might help you that you maybe haven't thought of. Okay. So what I'm hearing is, first of all, you need to bring in a kid. And this kid is going to be 5 years old. You need to bring in a five-year-old kid. And let me see if this kid is you. It isn't you, but it's a guy, a little boy who's spunky and having fun and just wants to play and has a ton of enthusiasm about life and has a lot of curiosity. I mean, just in just picture all of that wonderful youth sitting at your table, bringing that energy of play and let's have fun with this. It's like looking like, this is just going to be a day of play here. Let's, you know, play with some blocks or something, you know, rather than the seriousness. Okay, so that's one, but there's more. Let's see, who else to bring in? And you're to bring in an artist. And this artist I see as a female, and adult female artist, and I see her painting pictures with beautiful landscape pictures. And bring her in, too, because somehow she's going to inspire you. You know how a painting inspires? She's going to inspire you with a bigger picture and help you see where you're actually going with all of this. Because I do see landscapes. So I hope that helps you, Jules. And I would love it if you would connect with Rhonda and let her know what happens when you bring in the little five-year-old boy and the artist to help you with your finances.
Thanks, Jean. And then we have another caller with a question. Just 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Cecil.
Hello.
What's your question?
My question was enough. These guys in three-piece suits.
I'm sorry, Cecil, I didn't quite catch that.
I said my question is, do you have a number for those guys in three-piece suits?
Oh, yeah, their spiritual phone number?
Yeah.
Who knew? Who knew there was the mob?
Hey,
oh,
that
yeah. You know, all it takes is just asking, just your imagination. That's all. That's how you connect with them.
Yeah. So, since I'm on the line here with you, and I don't have a particular thing that I want or need or desire. Can you pick up anything from maybe the vibrations in my voice or anything like that? Anything about me and what, I mean, I can always use spiritual help in whatever capacity that it wants to come. Because, hey.
Okay, sure, Cecil. And what I'm going to do, since we're talking about hiring the heavens, I'm going to just see who would like to connect with you and who have you maybe not thought of asking for help, what area of your life you maybe haven't thought of asking for help, but that angel is just standing there going, please, 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 would you just ask me and I can help you so much. So let's find out who that is and in what area of your life. Okay. So for you, what is showing up is the area of play. Yeah. Hire a play angel to help you have more fun.
Oh, yeah.
More fun, is it? Let me make sure. Yeah, more fun and joy, and to do things spontaneous, like hire a spontaneous play angel to help you to pay attention to those moments where you can just go ahead and spontaneously play. Just grab and seize the moment and do something, you know, that you wouldn't have normally or you wouldn't have thought of doing, you know, totally unplanned.
Yeah, grabbing and seizing, all of that sounds fun.
Yeah, it does sound like fun.
I'm an artist as well, and I do play. And so I play, but I don't play, I guess, in other ways that probably I would like to play a little bit more in.
Right. The key is that spontaneous, like even doing something silly.
yeah. That was good.
Well, thank you, Cecil. You'll have to let me know what happens with your spontaneous play angel because she sounds like fun.
Ooh, she sounds like fun. And you said she, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to keep my eye or my spirit peeled on, open and ready to receive.
And I'm so glad you said that, open to receive, because that's really... You know, it's ask and you shall receive. That, you know, this is all about asking, and it's as simple as that. But you do have to be open to receiving. And oftentimes, it's usually our worthiness issue. We don't want to be open to receiving. And I will tell you a story about my daughter that just kind of exemplifies this. And this came about when she was, I want to say she was 11 years old, and we had done a remodel on our house, and her bedroom was painted like an aquarium. We put big seahorses on the walls and coral and seaweed coming up, and it was a really fun, playful bedroom for a little girl. And she also had a bathroom sink in her room. So I said to her, we need to get some bathroom accessories to go along with the motif here. So let's head on down to a department store and see if we can't find something. Well, we did, and we did find a bathroom set that was kind of cream-colored and had seashells on it. So we were at the counter getting ready to buy it, and I said to my daughter, you know what? We forgot to hire the heavens. This bathroom set here looks like something that an older person would have. It doesn't fit your room, really, and it doesn't fit the energy of a little 11-year-old. So let's put this back, go out in the car, and hire the heavens. And that's what we did. We went to the car. We hired a spiritual bathroom accessory specialist. And I told my daughter to hire her. She did. And I said, okay, tell her what you want. She says, okay, I want something that's turquoise in color with really bright colored popping out fish and really fun and playful. And I said, great, where do we need to go? And she said, Bed Bath & Beyond. So off we went to Bed Bath & Beyond. And she rounded the corner where all the bathroom accessories are and just screamed because there it was, exactly what she had asked for, and it was on clearance. So we bought it. We were so excited. We were skipping out of that store. And that's what the angels work for. They work for your joy. We were so happy and having, you know, we were just on a high. And we got into the car, and I asked her, I said, you know, honey, I really need to know something. In the past, whenever I've asked you to hire from the heavens, you always say, you do it for me, Mom, and then I do, and wonderful things happen. But this time, you did the hiring, and it worked so well. So why didn't you hire in the past? And then she said to me something, it just shook me. She said, well, Mom, I was afraid that if I asked the angels for something and I didn't get it, it would mean they didn't like me.
Hmm.
And that was the moment when I realized that, because I didn't teach her that, but I think we're just kind of born with this fear that somehow we're going to be rejected, that somehow we're not going to be good enough, that somehow we're not lovable enough, that somehow we're not worthy.
You know what? Sometimes you can also pick that up, especially children in school, from other children. Some things they say, they do. You know, maybe they exclude you from this game or that other, that this thing or that other, and you develop that sense of unworthiness. They don't let you hang out with this particular in crowd or this group of people or that the set or the other. So sometimes it comes from there. It's not necessarily something that you were born with, but it was something that acquired maybe innocently through childhood, and you took it on. Either subconsciously embedded, and you didn't realize that at the time that that was actually happening.
Right, and then we don't want to ask because we fear that rejection.
Because I know for myself, there was a point where I never thought that I was unworthy until I was actually in school, and because I was born visually impaired, right? And I didn't know it. I didn't know I couldn't see as well as other people. I was doing everything everybody else was doing, but I came to find out that I wasn't seeing as well as other people. And then when I went to school, other children had no problem in pointing that out. You're not as good as we are because your eyes are not as good as ours. And you look at things real funny and this and that and the other. So for that reason, they excluded me from certain things. And, you know, when they were choosing people, choosing teams and this and that and the other to play this sport or play this thing that other outdoors, they may not choose me. So, oh, I don't want to choose him because he can't see. And he'll probably miss the ball and he'll get us out and this and that and the other. But anyway, for whatever reason, they didn't choose what they chose. They picked around me. And maybe sometimes I was the last choice. So, so subconsciously, I began thinking probably that I was unworthy, and then I had to grow out of that in my latter teen years, where I just said one day I said, "Well, I feel that I'm worthy, you know, and regardless of what they say, I'm going to change this and turn this around for me. Otherwise, I will be feeling this way about myself." And I said, I don't want to feel that way. So I just stopped feeling that way. You know?
Well, I do really agree with you. And I bet you that so many people listening also can relate with what you're saying. So for those listening, I would hire a spiritual worthiness committee to help you to recognize that you are worthy, and to help tap you on the shoulder any place in your life where that thought is still lurking, that you're not worthy.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty much over that now. As a matter of fact, maybe people look at me and think that I think I'm too worthy.
Well, thank you
so much, Cecil.
Okay.
With that, we're down to 20 seconds before we're going to be done with this hour. If you could tell listeners how to contact you again, Jean.
They can contact me at www.jeanslater.com. They can also go to creativemystic.com. It gets you to the same place.
All right. And listeners, you can reach me at Searchers Roadmap, searchersroadmap@gmail.com. And you can ask me questions, suggest people you would like to hear from, writers that you've read books with. I'm open to any of that. And I'm really glad, Jean, that you were with us today. I think you've helped a lot of people because people can go into the archives and listen to this at any time after the show. And I think we've touched on some pretty serious situations where a lot of us, you know, are really serious and need to have more play in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'm going to bid you adieu and blessings to all of you around the world that listens to this show. Please press follow when you pick us up online so that you can be notified of future shows that are coming up. And with that, I'm going to close this out. And I would love to talk to you again, Jean. So we'll try to arrange another interview.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome. And with that, everyone, blessings to everyone and have a great day.